First, just to make sure that we finish the Yomi. As you know, the Gemara is in Agadat Gemara. Mentions a few different words, like Almana, and how they're broken up. My Almana, Amar Avchana Bagadata, Almana Al Shem Mana. Because she gets a mana. I Almana Min Erisin, she gets 200. Right? Lameima. Why is she called an Almana? I did the Karli Almana Hanami Karli Almana. Because the word Almana means a widow. Almana Iksiva Be'airaisa Ma'ika Lameima. I says the word Almana the Torah. And a Ksubas Almana is certainly a Drabana. The Sidi Rabban, the Misakni Laimana. Chikasakra La'asid. In Ksiva Shemanar Shishichideka Lu'ahila Kidmas Ashur. The Tanur of Yosef Asher Zuslika, and we have light, didn't exist. Hala Dasida, Hachinami Dasida. How do you know it didn't exist? So Slika is a city, so it didn't exist. That's what he means. It didn't exist. Is there a Chumash here? There's a thank you. There's a Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yudalid. In Perek Yudalid, the end of Lech Lecha, talking about when the four kings fought the five kings. Perek Yudalid Pasuk Zayin. It says the Yeshuvu v'yavayu alei mishpat hikadesh v'yaku es kol stei ha'amaleki. In the battle, it says v'yaku es kol stei ha'amaleki. They destroyed the field of the Amaleki. Who is Amalek? It's his grandson. And this is in Parshas Lech Lecha, which is before Esav, certainly before Amalek. So Rashi says adayin lo noled Amalek. But Nikra Shem Hasid. Good Rashi, right? It's not sense. And Amalek wasn't born, so it's called Hashem Hasid. So Rashi is very good. The Ramban is Matmiya on Rashi. I don't know if they bring it in the art scroll. But the Ramban is Matmiya on Rashi. He says, what do you mean, Hashem Hasid? This pasuk was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah and our Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah, Amalek already existed. So what do you mean, Al Shem Ha'asid? That's Ramban's Kasher and Rashi. So the Re'im answers that doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. Moshe Rabbeinu only wrote what had been part of Torah. Torah is each parasha when it takes place. Torah existed before Bria Sa'ad. The Ramban is not like this Gemara. This Gemara says, Asher Zusliko, Mihavoi. Maybe it existed by the time Moshe Rabbeinu came around. No? Well, what's the Ramban's problem? Mihavoi. What's Taisa say? What's Taisa say? Abakasha, my Maisa, me Ashur. Havas given to Havibi, me Maisha, Shapa Laila Mechtan. Avamana, Laila, Lexan shall have a direct. So what does that mean? Taisa holds that mana didn't exist in the time of Maisha, it's Hashem Asid. But if Slika existed in the time of Maisha, Shabbat Leila Michta, it wouldn't be a kasha. So that means Taisus is saying like the Ramban. Taisus is saying that if Slika existed, be made Maisha, then it would be good.
But they know
that Slika didn't exist. But they must be, even in the Slika Maisha mi havoi. Kimleis, the Kalei be made Maisha. So the Machlaik is here between Rashi and Taisus, and Machlaik's Rashi and the Ramban seem to be the same Machlaik. There's got to be some hashkafa, I don't have clear. But that Rashi holds, it's not the other way, Ramban and Taisus hold Hashem Ha'asid goes according to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, that was the Zman that the Torah was written, and whatever existed till then is no kasha. Only something that did not yet exist is Hashem Ha'asid. And Rashi apparently holds that it's not that way. It doesn't go according to Yimei Moshe. It goes according to the time that whatever took place. The Torah is describing it in its time. And therefore that's Hashem Ha'asid. Even if it existed at the time of Moshe, it's still Hashem Ha'asid, because Amalek, Rashi holds, is considered Hashem Ha'asid. So Machlokes, Rashi and the Ramban, Rashi and the Tosfos, there's some tifa hashkafa in here, I'm not sure. Robert Zayachachav the Gemara. Gemara said, Hashem Ha'asid, and the proof is from Slika. But they haven't been, it's really the truth. It's just a proof. We're trying to prove a right Hashem Ha'asid from when it happened, or Hashem Ha'asid from Moshe. It's only a dechia that maybe it's from the time of Moshe, not lechia emes. Now let's see weiter. Amar Rav Huna Bagadita, Motar rain is mashka merava mezabel ma'adin u'mamshach. Rain does all these good things. Amar Rava, Bar Bishwal, Vitaim Rav Yehme Bar Shalmi, Amaykrat, Tlomeha Rave, Nachas Kidudea, Bar Avivin, Timai Gegna, Simcha Tevarech. That when the furrows are overflowing with rain, so everything is nice. Amar Rav Lazar, Mizbeach, Meziach, Umezin, Mechavev, Mechaper. So Meziach, we'll see in a minute what it means. Mezin means it gives him Zaynis, Mechavev, it's Mechavev Kal Yisrael. Lavim Shur Shemayim, and it's Mechaper. Fract, the Gemara, Hainu Mechaper, Hainu Meziach. Meziach also means to get rid of Averis. And for the Gemara, Meziach Gezeris, Mechaper Averis. Meziach means after a Gezer was made against Kal Yisrael, the Mizbeach can cause them to be to come off. Mechaper Avaynes. Amar Rav Chana Bagata, Tumari, dates. Mishachnan, Misaban, Mishashlan, Ma'ashran, V'loy Mefankan. It does a bunch of good things for a person to eat dates. It warms the body, it satisfies. Mishalshel, it opens the bowels. Ma'ashran, it gives a person strength. V'loy Mefankan, it doesn't make him be too sensitive. So dates are recommended. Amar Rav, Ochel Tamarim, Al Yairin. If you eat dates, you shouldn't paskin, because dates apparently can make people drunk. I'm not familiar, I don't eat dates, but it's alcohol and dates. Meisvei, Tamarim, Shachris, Va'arvis, Yafais. Tamarim are good in the morning and the evening. When a person eats a meal, Tamarim apparently help his body digest the food quickly. Bemincha, Rois. In the middle of the day, that's no good. B'tzaharayim ein kamaisan, and the right after you eat the afternoon meal, the evening meal, ein kamaisan, they're the best. It seems in the time of Chazal they used to eat two meals a day. The Rambam said, if you want to,
I see you forgot 6 hours.
Perhaps. So what was tzaharayim, shachris, and tzaharayim? Arvis is also after the tzaharayim meal. No? And it helps you, eating dates helps you get rid of three things. Machshava ra, chalim yayim etech tainias. What's machshava ra? Rashi says, machshava ra is daiga. Fisha misamches es alev. So what does that mean? That it's good to eat things that make you happy. What it says? That dates are very good because they make a person happy, and they're mevatel mashava ra. Now, all over Shas, Rashi for mashava ra says hirur averim. Wherever it says in the Gemara mashava ra and Shas, Rashi says it means hirur averim. Here, Rashi says mashava ra is daiga. Fisher Masanchis is alev. So the Michas Elazar has a piece where he writes that. The idea that the person who is happy, the person who is satisfied, is It's easier for him to move out hirurei avera. It's not a stira. That daiga, when a person is depressed, it brings him to hirurim rahim. If I can't, the person is supposed to live besimcha, which means that although today I suppose most of you, like me, don't particularly care for dates, but according to this, it's saying that a person should eat the food he likes. Eat the food you like, it brings you, it's mevachal mashava ra, makes the person happy. We see it's good. Really, dates are very good. Just lafi shaita tarda. When you eat it, you shouldn't paskin because at the time it confuses a person. They have a karma just like wine. We have a rule that if you drink a revius of wine, you shouldn't paskin, even though wine is healthy. If you buy a same like kasha, hamikami nama holabasa nama. To eat dates on an empty stomach is no good. But to eat it afterwards, after a meal, it's good. Amar abayi, amar li'ein. Tamari, mekami nama, dates before bread, ki nargol edikula. That's no good. It's like hacking a nail into a deka. Basar nama, ki ivra ladasha. Afterwards, ki ivra ladasha, it's like a bolt in a door, which holds strong, holds tight. So it's very good for the body. To eat dates and to clean out the body after a person eats. Amarava derech sham dasha amarava derech sham. Dasha is a way to get it. Delos, threshold, a doorway. Darga amarava derech gag. Steps are the way to go up. It's called darga. Puriya amarapapa shapar amarava. It's called a bed from lashon pururuvu. Amarav Nachmbar Yitzchak, Af Anu Neymar. Well, if everyone's making up touches of words, so Nachmbar said, let me make one up too. Elanis is Duchrinis de Loyalda. Not as good as the others, right? Elanis Duchrinis de Loyalda. A person who can't have children, called an Elanis. Duchrinis is the targum for an Ayol, which is a male. So Duchrinis de Loyalda, how does that come to Elanis? So Ayol, Ayol. So what's Linis, Ayol, Loyalda? I guess the Nis is just an expression.
Make a
lush in the cave.
Let's
make a lush in the cave. What? Sheinai.
Okay.
So the Ayo part comes from the Hebrew and the Nis comes from the Aramaic. Could be. Could be. Okay. Let me just talk about Ksuba, just to tie up a few loose ends. And the Mishnah said Bsulo Ksuva Samasai. It's a question as to how to teach those three words. Not so hard. Easy teach, no? Bsula Ksuva Samasai. Bsula gets a Ksuva of 200. Question is, what does it mean, Bsula Ksuva Samasai? It means she's a besula when? That she gets the ksuva of 200. Now you can understand it means that she's a besula at the time she writes the ksuba, she gets 200. Right? That's what we understand. That's the way we understood it. Besula, she's a besula at the time of the writing of the ksuba, she gets 200. Or you could learn besula, if she's a besula when she started her relationship with this man. She came into this man's rishus as a besula. Then ksuvasa masai. Is that the same thing? The same thing. The question is how to tie. She's besula. For example, Rav Moshe has a shaila about a couple who got married. They weren't from. So they had a civil marriage and they lived together for 10 years. And now they became Balei Tshuva. So they're writing a ksuva. So what type of ksuva do you write for this couple? It's writing a ksuva now. So what type of ksuva do you write? If you teach the way I teach first, Besula ksuva, so Messiah means she's a psula at the time of the writing of the ksuba. She gets 200, so she should only get 100. Takachu, she's living with him for 10 years, but he didn't give her a ksuba. Now, when he's giving her a ksuba, then he's a chuppah, he's giving her a ksuba, he does 200. If you learn the second way, is Basula means she came to his rishus as a Basula. She started her relationship with him as a Basula, so she's entitled to 200. Then, even 10 years later, she's entitled to a $200 ksuba. I made it. We have a babysitter for our child who came out of Russia, and we made them a chasna. They were married by then. They had grandchildren, so they had a chasna, one of the local shuls, and it was a ksuba. The question is, how much of a ksuba do you write? Do you write? Well, funny for, you know, a 70-year-old lady to write the pesulta da. Do you write pesulta da, or do you write ksuba spulak? She's a bula.
What's the time to waste away? When the relationship started, why do we consider that to be anything?
You're saying Apiswara should go according to when you write the ksuba. Apiswara should go according. Does everyone agree with that?
Yeah, I guess.
Did you say
it's for him?
It's for him. So it's, why should it be dafka when they started their relationship?
It could be that he obligates himself to get her ksuba, as long as she isn't a new mom here also. You know, he knows that she was a, within husband's side also now, so why should
he?
If he had karka, if he had karka in the beginning that he sold, it won't be meshuvah. Right, there's really going to start from now.
They weren't married.
But, what? They weren't married in a halachic sense.
They weren't married.
So you're agreeing it should be only 100. Somehow I think our sense of fairness says it should be 200. Right? It's. Because all you're doing is certifying that you had a ksuba. The nusach of that ksuba, that when someone loses it, is these people came in front of us, they had a ksuba when they got married, and that's what we write the ksuba. You'd be allowed to, it doesn't mean necessarily. Well, it doesn't mean you get 200 necessarily if he's Michael, Yeah, but a bula also gets 100. You know, there's Alman. So a bula also gets. Shout the amount. Is it 200 or 100? The question is what the obligation is. You're giving an eitzah, but what's the din? If it's 200, they want. So the Navi Huda. The view that Tinyana Similamad Gimel has a shaila about a woman who was getting married, and she had already been nibalot to this man. As a matter of fact, in that case, she was actually pregnant when she was getting married. He made her pregnant, and then I guess she convinced him to marry her. And the shaila was how much to write in the ksuba. So the Nadi Yehuda writes what he calls muskel rishon, meaning the first svara. Muskel rishon is that she's only entitled to 100, like Yaakov was saying. At the time she got married, she's not a besula. So at the time you're writing the ksuba, she's not a besula. So it should go according to the time you write the ksuba. That's the svara of the Nadi Yehuda. calls that muskel rishon. He means the glatta svara. I said in the Yehuda stuff. All right. The Yehuda says that the muskel rishon should go according to the time you write the ksuba, and at the time you write the ksuba, she's a ba'ula, so it's 100. That's it. Then the Nadi Yehuda writes, but we find in the Rambam, in Hilchos Nara Amurasa, in the beginning in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, that if a man is mefate a besula, he talks a girl, Gedaila, in Tiznos, and he talks he talks a katana in Tiznos, so he has a mitzvah to marry her. He gives her a ksuba of 200. So zakte lachayr tzarei fakert. We see if a man is mefate katana, he was bailam. And later on, we tell him it's a mitzvah to get him to marry her, and he marries her, so he writes 200. So that's a right, not like the muskel rishon. The muskel rishon was that you go according to the time you write the ksuba. And we see from the Rambam not that way. So zakte neidib yud, it's no right. Because there really, mefate always pays a knas of chamishim, of chamishim shekel. Hamishim shekel is the same as 200 zuz. So a mefata always pays a knas. If he marries her, he does not pay the knas. But b'makim the knas, he puts that 50 shekel, which is 200 zuz, he puts that into the ksuba. So it's no raya from pitui, and therefore the Nevi'ud's maskana is like his muskel rishon. The way to teach our Mishnah is besula ksuvasa mesayim goes according to the time that you write the ksuba. That's the Nevi Yehuda's pesach. The Chassam Sofer, Nechuvin, Simekufche Chaf Hei, basically agrees with the Nevi Yehuda that it should go according to the time you write a ksuba. However, he says one exception, one case in which he argues. He says that Mishudeches, if they were already engaged to be married, a Mishudeches was a Psula, and then their Mizana before marriage. So the Nadibi, so some Sefer says there, it's an Umdina that she has in mind at the time that their Mizana, she has in mind that she's marrying him as a Psula, and that being Mizana beforehand, but that's her intention. She never was Michael Aksula, even though she was asking to his nose. But she never meant to be Michael her right to Aksuba, and therefore Mishudeches is different.
What did Michael? When they
show up to get Aksuba, she's not a... So I don't understand the cipher. What does it mean she has in mind? What's this, what she has in mind?
If he has in mind, it's his money. So if
what's this that he has in mind?
Well, if he has in mind...
If you have a mind to give me something, you can change your mind. Right? It's only for Hegdish or Tzedakah.
If you can go with
the umdana, I mean.
With this umdana, he's basically agreeing to the other reasons.
If there's an umdana, so maybe Rechsam Sefer means that. There's an umdana that he agrees. Maybe. There's an umdana. He and she are agreeing that they're still going to go to the chasna of Sula. They already have a date set for marriage. Right. Could be that's what he means. He uses a lashon shiur in mind, but maybe he means they had in mind.
Yeah. Doesn't do with what they're doing now. They increase in that old thing. Nothing to do with the suba. Marriage is still the marriage, and they're getting engaged.
And therefore, it should be.
Therefore, it makes sense.
Therefore, it makes sense.
All right.
Fine. All right. So, but in the underlying svara, and they view this say for both hold the underlying svara. Then it goes according to when you write the ksuba. And when you write the ksuba, you're a psula, you get 200, you're a bula, you get 100. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this. In the Igros Moshe, Eben Ezer Chelek Aleph, tshuva kuf Aleph. The tshuva itself is a little involved, but basically, he tries to disprove the muskel rishon of the Nadi Yehuda. Nadi Yehuda, in his svara, held that it all goes according to when you write the ksuba. Finished. So Rav Moshe, in the course of his ksuva, brings three different cases where we find either in the Gemara or in the Rishayim, a ksuva of 200 to a woman who's not a basula. To a woman who's not a basula. And the three cases he brings are, one is a ger shenizgayer im ishtai. A man gets married, the guy gets married, and now they're megayer, husband and wife are megayer together. So assuming that she was a psula when she initially got married, now that they're megayer, they have a chuppah. Right? After a husband and wife, goyim are megayer, we wait 3 months. 3 months of havchana, so if she's pregnant, we can know if the pregnancy was before the gayrus or after, if the baby is a full-fledged yid. And then they have a chasna. At that chasna, Rav Moshe brings that she gets a ksuba of 200. Why? So it seems because when she came into his rishus, she was a psula. Even though when she came in, she was a guy, even though
she was a
ksuba.
She was a psula when she originally got married.
She had to have been a psula when she originally got married. Rav Moshe discusses the issue of how you could know by a guy that she was a basula, but assuming that we know she got married under three, whatever case you'll think, we know she was a basula, she got married to the guy, they have a guy together. Maybe they have no one now. Like I said, it's a side issue where Moshe goes into, but the point is that she gets a ksuba of 200. Even though Bishas ksiba taksuba, she's a basula. So that's one raya. Second raya, he brings from the Torah, Isha Shemachla Ksuvasa. Let's say you have a woman who was Michael Haksuva. In marriage, she took a Ksuva, she gave it back to her husband, she said, I'm Michael Haksuva. What's the din? We don't allow them to continue that way. If a woman is Michael Haksuva, the Mechila is a Mechila. But they can't live together again until he writes a new Ksuva. So he's got to write a new Ksuva. The Torah says, Isha Shemachla Ksuvasa, you write a new Ksuva, it's a 200 Ksuva. Again, it's a situation where right now she's a Bula, and you write the Ksuva now, and it's Meshavet Karka from now, not from the time they got married, and yet the Torah says you get 200.
What was the original Ksuva?
200. Assuming the original Ksuva was 200, she was Meichelet.
All right.
So now you write a new 200. But the newest Chayvis now. The newest chayv, she was Michael, the Mechila Schal. Karka's not Meshuvah. Now she lost it, the Chiyuv remained. Because even if a woman doesn't have a Ksuba. It's not the same, because if he sold Karka in between, she's Michael, whatever he sold is not Meshuvah anymore. It's only from now on that it's Meshuvah. What? She was a Psula when the first one was written. Now she's not a basula. And Afal PK, we give 200. So, Kirmashi, what do we see? We see that basula of Suvasa Messiah is Taich. If when she came into his Rishus, or she came into his relationship, she was a basula, she's always entitled to 200. That's all we see. What? As long as their relationship started when she was a basula, even now, if you're writing a basula from now, you still have to give her 200. Even though it's a newest chayvis and it starts now when she's a bula, afal pi kein. His third raya is from a gemara. I think he brings in daf tzaddik. Katan she siya aviv. Katan usually don't have this in shas. Usually have katana. A katan she siya aviv. A katan whose father married him off. So he's chay, not chayiv in ksuva. Cotton is not chayiv in chiyuv in ksuva. He becomes chayiv in ksuva from the time he becomes a gadol. And at that time, he becomes chayiv in ksuva. He pays 200. He gives her a ksuva of 200. So here, once again, he was a cotton. He had a relationship with a woman. She was a psula when he was a cotton. He started the relationship, but he had no chiyuv in ksuva because a cotton is not chayiv. His father's chayiv. Now, when he becomes a gadol, he assumes on himself Yuvei Ksuba. So again, he pays 200. Why does he pay 200? That's a very strong grant. What? It's a question. He was married when I told him, but even if he was married, but he had no Yuvei Ksuba until later. So he had no Yuvei Ksuba until later. These are three.
So it's another case.
What? I mean, maybe the son is just extending the father's chiyuvim. You can be mefakvik one of the rayas, maybe, whichever one. But there are three, there are three cases where you have a woman who, at the time you write the ksuba, she's a bu'ula, and she gets 200 because the relationship started.
These are all legitimate.
So what?
These are all legitimate.
These are all legitimate. There was not snus. So I mean it. So on. So therefore.
What's the reason why you don't want to get 100
in the? You're thinking about it the right way. Okay, one second. Well, one second, just in halakha, we have now a machlokes. Now, you have some seifa argue, it goes according to when you write it. Rav Moshe holds that it goes according to when the relationship started, and disagrees al pisvara with the muskel rishon of the Nadi B'Yudah. B'Yudah doesn't bring rayas. B'Yudah just says it's a svara this way. But Rav Moshe disagrees. So the question is, why does this toli in svara? Why does it totally in svara? So that should depend. Maybe it should talk it depend on why a woman, why is the psula get 200? Why is the psula get 200? And the almana gets 100. Huh? Why is the psula get 200? So why is it that way? Why does the psula get more?
She's worth more.
She's more. It's more inviting shidduch. So it's a shidduch that's more appealing. So you get 200. It's a shidduch that's less appealing. You get 100. So now, let's carry that forward. So why is a ba'ula less appealing than a besula? Is it because she was nivala to someone else? Or is it because she was nivala? See what I'm asking? A besula gets 200. A bula gets 100. Why is it that a besula gets more? Because she's more. It's more appealing to marry a besula than an alman. It's worth more. What makes a besula more appealing than a bula? Is it the fact that she was never nibala? Or is it the fact that she was never nibala to anybody else? Which one is it? I'm just thinking out loud. Could it be that that's what the machlokes is? Huh?
Because it's not actually someone else here that wants
to be on
the
one. Big deal. If it's because she was nibble to someone else, she was nibble to someone else.
If that's the case, then even before the shidduch was done, she was still banished.
That's right. You think of any rayas to this? Right. So the question is, when she's mizana, she degrades herself and therefore gets 100. She's mizana with him, is that called degrading himself and also being 100? But from Rav Moshe's mashma, right? So from Rav Moshe's mashma, that's because you nibble at someone else. But that's what makes it worth less. Could that be what it's totally in?
If
this all doesn't say, not in the Nabi Yehuda, not in the Gris Moshe, I'm just thinking out loud. Does it make sense?
The Nabi Yehuda is in the case of the Fatah, the whole reason why she pays 200 is only because of the Fatah.
Because Nabi Yehuda holds it goes according to Tanya Raya. So, that if all the Tanya Raya, it doesn't matter who she's never with. It makes sense what I'm saying? Makes sense? You think it makes sense? We were talking about it before. But then according to this logic, what should be the din of a mukaseitz? How much should a mukaseitz get? According to this logic, again, what are we saying? According to Nevi Yehuda, Amona gets less because she's a bula. Who cares to who? And Ramesha holds. Am I right? Ramesha holds, and Amona gets less, a bula gets less because she's nibbled someone else. So what should be the din then of a mukaseitz? How much should she get?
She's not a bula.
How much should she get?
She's not a
bu'ula.
Is she a
bu'ula? She's not a bu'ula, no. Later in the Mishnah, in the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis.
Well, there's a machlokes whether she has to pursue, whether, you know, mukaseitz, she loses the da. There's a machlokes whether she loses the pursuer or not.
Take a look. Look in the Mishnah, the bottom of Yud Aleph. Mukaseitz, k'suvasa masayim divir rameich, amay mukaseitz, k'suvasa mana. She wasn't nibble to anybody else. She wasn't nibble at all. And yet it goes down to 100. So she's nibble to him. She gets 200.
She doesn't have a
I think we're going to have to see when we get to Mukaseitz what the Rishonim say the reason. We have to see, but if Mukaseitz is Suvas Amana, that doesn't seem to stim or Amesha. The way I'm saying now the Svara, no? Alright? All right, so we have this Machlaikis, we're going to have to put it aside because we're going to spend probably a week now, not on Ksuvis. Next week we're going to spend learning Chashimishpat and Yaradeya. Because Taf Yud Aleph is a Sugi of Ger Katan, there are two parts. We'll have certainly three or four shiurim on Dina Geiris and on the Din of Zachen Ladim Shalai Befanav. I advise you before Sunday to learn the Gemara at least halfway down and the Tap Taisvis, which is the Yisaitis Dika Taisvis. Make sure you understand it, and Sunday we're going to learn.